Well, did you enjoy that song much as I did? Boy, wasn't that good, I tell you. Amen. I don't know how you felt when you got here, but that should help you quicken your step a little bit. Amen. That certainly was good. Well, it's been a good week. It went by fast, and boy, I've just enjoyed it so wonderfully. Good to see you here today. As Brother Ike was saying now, many of you know, some of you may not, the website for the church is simply calvarybonifay.com. Calvarybonifay.com. You can listen to the messages of the revival there, or any message really. Or you can download them, whichever you choose to do. If you do not mess with computers and don't desire to mess with a computer, if you'll let us know, we will make you a hard copy of CDs that you can listen to. Amen. We've already distributed quite a few. But we want the Word of God to work in all of us. Amen. And I know one thing. I didn't get everything that he said this week. So it would probably be a good idea for me to revisit those things. Amen. Amen. So if you desire that, then you just let us know. Open your Bibles to the middle of your Bible now. Find the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, chapter 104. Psalms chapter 104, just share a few verses with you. Like Brother Ike said, it's sometimes intimidating to follow somebody like Brother Don. I used to have to do it all the time and preach for me every year. So it's just something we have to bear, amen. But I thank you for coming, and it's always my joy to share the Word of God, amen. And so we're going to do that this morning in Psalm chapter 104. Verse number 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, why should we bless the Lord? Because He's blessed us. Amen. "O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind." Well, I'd say that's a pretty description of a God who's great, wouldn't you? Verse 4 says, "Who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers a flaming fire." Now, for the sake of time, turn over to the last part of that chapter. We'll read and we'll come back and use a few of the verses that we find there in the middle. Let's begin reading in verse number 33. The psalmist says, "I will sing." Now, what did we just do? Say, "Well, preacher, I can't sing." Well, God doesn't demand a pretty voice. Amen. He said, "Make a joyful noise." Now, don't come in here grunting and complaining. Make a joyful noise if you're going to make one. Amen. That's right. If we were restricted to having talent to sing unto the Lord, that would count me out. But thank God. He said, "I will sing unto the Lord for a little while." Oh, my goodness. "As long as I live, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless Thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord." Amen. And so we begin in this psalm with a description of the Lord, and we close out with the reasons that we should sing and praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it was about 1965 that two men decided to write a song. Their names were Bob Thiel and George Weiss. They offered the song. They wrote it specifically for Tony Bennett. You've probably heard of him. So they presented it to Tony Bennett, and he said, "Well, no," he said, "I don't think that song is for me. I don't want to sing that song." So they went down to New Orleans, and they found a man down there named Louis Armstrong. Some people called him Satchmo. He was a trumpet player, and it seemed like when he would play that trumpet, his cheeks would almost explode. He could fill them with so much air. And he said, "I will sing that song." He did, and it became a number one hit. And the title of that song and the title of my message this morning is simply this: What a Wonderful World. I want to just read to you a few of the words of that song because I believe they're very relevant to us personally. In my life, they said, "I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I hear babies cry and I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world." Hallelujah. I believe those men may have at one point in time read the book of Psalms or Romans chapter 1. Amen. But we might say today, "Well, preacher, I don't know how in the world that you can say that it is a wonderful world, because it appears that this world is falling apart." Amen. We live in dark times. We live in discouraging times. We live in wicked times. Amen. And so, how can you say that it is a wonderful world? Well, you've heard the old expression before: beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Amen. So I guess your opinion of this world would depend on how you happen to be looking at it at any given day. Amen. So I want you to know that there are four different words. You go later to 2 Peter chapter 3, Brother Ike's preached out of there many times, you'll find that there was a past world. The Bible tells us that God created this world. It was a paradise, and He created man, put him in the midst of that paradise in a garden. But then when you come to Genesis chapter 6, you find that the Bible says that the world was filled with violence, and it says that it repented God that He had made man. Now that is described in 2 Peter chapter 3 as the past world, the world that then was, because that world was destroyed. It was destroyed by the waters of a great flood, wherein the Bible tells us only 8 people survived. Somebody told me, Satan was on that boat too. And some of his angels, some of his people. I said, "Where do you get that at?" He said, "Well, you have to read between the lines." I said, "Well, I'm still studying the lines. I'm not moved to the middle yet. So I'm just going to stick to what God has said and let Him fill me in on what's in the middle whenever I get there, because I haven't progressed that far. But until then, I don't believe I'm going to accept what you're saying. And I'm certainly not going to preach it." Amen. But then the Bible in 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about this present world. Now, that's the world that you and I are living in at this time. God took Noah and He made a covenant with him, and He informed him that he needs to do the same thing that God told Adam he was to do, and that was to be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth. Amen. Well, it didn't take long until we see the world once again becoming corrupt. So corrupt that a man arose named Nimrod, who sought to lead the world into a one-world religion without God. So as a result, God came down in that world and He confused the languages. And they are confusing. If one was here this morning, I couldn't talk to a German because I don't know German. And if he spoke to me, I wouldn't understand anything he said. Probably you wouldn't either, amen. That's how bad it was. Well, to keep this unification of man, in rebellion against God, well, I'm going to have to confuse their languages to separate them and to make them multiply and replenish the earth like I told them to do, and it worked. Amen. Huh? Yes, it did. Now, you see, God set this present world up in such a way because he promised Noah that he would not again destroy the world in judgment like he did. And so rather than destroying all of the world in judgment, he declared this. He said, that wicked nation, that wicked people, I will destroy them to keep from destroying this world. But then he talks about a promised world, a world that is to come. He said in 2 Peter chapter 3 that that world is according to his promise. Now you may as well learn right now that whatever God promises, God will perform and God will do it. Amen. And so I receive that by faith the same way I received that past world. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Amen. That's it. Amen. So there was a past world, there is a present world, and there is a promised world to come. But there's one other world, and that's the one that I want to talk to you about this morning. And that is the personal world. You see, you may ask somebody, I always ask people when I shake their hand and welcome them, and say, how you doing today? It's good to see you. You learn over time, some people you don't ask that. You're going to be there a while if you do ask them that. But somebody that's going through a difficult time, they might say this, say, well, Brother Donnie, my world is just crashing in. Now, they're not talking about this present world, the past one, or the promised world. They're talking about their personal world. They might say, oh, Brother Donnie, my world's all falling apart. Amen. And so the person sitting right next to him say, boy, everything's going great for me. You have a personal world that you live in. Now, Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 when he said, and be not conformed to this world, what, this present world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you see, dear friend, your personal world is what God wants it to be whenever your mind is transformed, amen, by the word of God. Amen. And so we're all here this morning and we feel different and we've all got our different problems and we're all living in our personal world. Well, now, that's biblical and Jesus taught about that situation. I want you to turn, if you will, quickly with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. The Gospel of John, chapter number 15. And we're going to read one verse, verse number 19. John chapter 15, verse 19. Jesus is speaking to his people. He's speaking to his disciples, those that he ordained to do the work after he had left. Here's what he said, John 15, verse 19. If ye were, what? Of the Word. Well, now, wait a minute. I was born in this world. My residence has been in this world. Theirs was too. But Jesus said, if you were of this world. Well, that's a pretty big if, isn't it? He said, if you were of this world, the world would love his own. But, here it is, because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you, look now, out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now when Jesus was before Pilate, the accusation against him was this: he has declared himself to be a king, therefore he is a threat to the Roman Empire. He was before Pilate. Pilate said this, he said, art thou a king? Jesus said, you said it. But then he clarified it like this. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, if it were, he said, my people would fight for me. Amen. Amen. So you need to understand something. This present world in which we live has been corrupted. And there is a prince of this world, a god of this world, the Bible calls him, who is behind this world system. Now you need to understand something. Behind every political movement, there's a spirit being. You mark that down. You don't believe that, you read the book of Daniel after a while, chapter 9. Amen. Gabriel's heading to old Daniel while he's praying, and he says this. He says, I heard you when you first started to pray 21 days ago. He said, your prayer was heard. But he said this. He said, the prince of Persia withstood me. Now, friend, he wasn't talking about no physical prince like a king of Persia. He was talking about a spirit being. And he said, I'd have still been there, Daniel, if old Michael hadn't come to fight for me. Amen. That's it. So you understand something. This world system that we live in, my friend, was not created and is not a part of God's world. But yet we find that according to the Bible, we live in a world within a world. Amen. One day old Ezekiel saw a wheel within a wheel. I ain't never found anybody knew what that was. It was a wheel within a wheel. Well, we live in a world within a world. Amen. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. What does it mean? Well, the Bible teaches that our citizenship is in heaven. It says right now, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Abraham said, Hebrews chapter 11, that he sought a city. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God, and declared themselves to be pilgrims and strangers. We sing that word, that song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, amen. Now you don't get me wrong, I thank God for everything that He's given me in this world, amen. I thank Him for that, and God blesses in the midst of this world, amen. Thank God there's people who'd be in the same shape as the people of this world, amen. But I want to tell you something. Your personal world in the midst of this world should not be governed by the circumstances of this world. Amen. Now, while you're in the Gospel of John, turn over to John chapter 17. We'll read a couple of more verses and we'll finish up here in just a minute. John chapter 17, Jesus is praying. He's not praying for himself. He's praying for those that are his. I want you to notice in John 17, verse number 14, speaking of his people, he says, to God I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Now, if you think people are going to like you because you're a Christian, you're going to be sorely discouraged and disappointed. Now, why do they hate them? Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. What evil? The evil that is in this world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of his world. Huh? What's he saying? He's saying, they're living in my world. They've got their own personal world where I walk. And they walk with me. Hallelujah. Amen. They might be walking through this world, dealing with the issues of this world, dealing with the adversaries of this world, dealing with the troubles of this world, but they are living in my world with me, and that's their own personal world. We encourage people to trust Christ as what? Their personal Savior. Amen. That point in time, we become a part of His world. And when we walk through this world, we're in a world within a world. We're in His world. So I've got good news for you this morning. Say, my world's falling apart. Amen. My world's a crashing in. Well, hallelujah, God's world is not. Amen. So if you're in His world, if you're a part of His world, then friend, I want to tell you something. It's all going to be all right. Amen. Amen. Now, why is it a wonderful world? Point number one. It's a wonderful world because it has a wonderful Creator. May I say that God never created a marred vessel. Amen. A lot of His vessels have been marred, but it weren't God's doing. Amen. Whenever God created them, they were perfect. Amen. God created a wonderful world. Now, if you happen to believe in the Big Bang, which is actually today in science becoming a big bust, actually more scientists are disbelieving that idea than they did before. I mean, you look, we've got this theory, we've got that theory, we've got the string theory, now we've got the spiral theory. Have you read about that one? You see, the Earth is not just set up in the midst of a galaxy that we call the Milky Way and that everything is revolving like this. No, now they've got a spiral theory which says the universe is actually moving in a spiraling moment. It's not only going in a circular motion, but it's moving in a forward motion. Well, 50 years from now, I wonder what theory they'll come up with. Amen. 50 years from now, I'll tell you what the good one is. Amen. What's real. Because I'll be over there. Amen. So you can't depend on science to tell you the truth. Why? Because they're ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Now, I love science. I love to read about science. I like to study science because, in my opinion, every bit of it points toward God. And so you're going to have to come of one of two conclusions. Either God created this world or it just came from some other source and nobody knows what it is. So if you believe in a Big Bang, if you believe some other thing, then you have to account for the origin of life somewhere outside of creation. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to explain sin. Amen. It's a wonderful world because it has a wonderful Creator. Amen. You see, the Bible teaches that He supersedes it. You see, the world hasn't existed as long as God. He existed before it ever existed. Amen. John said this, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning." Huh? What beginning? Well, that eternal beginning, which had no beginning and has no end before this beginning. But then He said this in verse 3. All things were made by Him and were nothing made except with Him. Amen. Nothing was made without Him. It was all made by Him. And in order for that to be true, He had to supersede it. Amen. God chose to create. God chose to create man into this world. God chose to have a relationship with man. And so the choice is yours or ours whether or not we want to pursue that relationship with God. Amen? He's a wonderful Creator. He superseded it. You look there at the first part of Psalm 104 as it describes God as being very great and clothed with honor and majesty, covered with light as a garment. Amen. Look what it says about Him. That He stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and He lays the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot. Whew. What a God. He superseded this creation. Amen. Because He started this creation. Hallelujah. It would not have ever existed without Him. But not only that, He sustains it. Psalm 104, verse 9. Thou hast set a bound that they might not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Now what's He talking about? He's talking about the waters. You'll remember in Genesis chapter 1 that it says the earth was without form and void, and the waters covered the face of the deep. Amen. There was no land. This thing was covered with God, with water, amen, in the beginning. And by the way, the Bible says in Psalm 104 that there were mountains under that water. See, we got a crowd today that believes that mountains were created by the continental drift and other forces in the tectonic plates, if you will. The Bible says there was mountains under that water in chapter 4, amen. Now you see, He not only created the water, He created the mountains, amen. Huh? And you see, that's the confusing problem here. Nobody knows how old the world was when God created it. How old was Adam when He created him? Son, if he was full grown man, when God created him, He might have created a full grown earth, amen. You don't know how old it is. And so when we get out there and piddle in them rocks and find all kind of stuff, we have to draw a conclusion because we cannot believe what the Bible says. But He superseded it. He started it and He sustains it. That's it. And when God says bring her down, He'll bring her down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says this, that there is a person, a presence, a power in this world that seeks to make himself known. He's known in the Bible as the beast. We often call him the Antichrist. But you know why he cannot appear? There's something here that hinders him from being revealed. Son, if the devil had his way, he'd take that thing over this afternoon. But he can't. Why? There's a restrainer. There's a restraining force that keeps him from doing that. Why? Because God's not through. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Why? He is sustaining this world. And if he turned it over to the devil, which is what the devil wanted in the temptations of Christ in the wilderness, then son, it'd be over. And he'd be ruling this thing. Amen. Amen. This is a wonderful world because it has a wonderful creator. But it's also a wonderful world because it has a wonderful governor. The arrogance of man. You see, to think that we can cause climate change. No, wait. Before you throw anything at me, wait just a minute. Here's the whole idea about climate change. Are you ready for it? I get in trouble all the time, but you know, I'm used to it. I'm getting old. I'll be gone soon. The whole idea behind climate change is that this earth belongs to man and he controls it. You want idea number two behind climate change? Destroying people. Who is the cause of climate change in their philosophy? People. Don't drive cars. Don't eat hamburgers. Don't eat lamb chops because they all pass gas. It's destroying this world. It is about population control. What do you think about abortion? I know I'm getting sidetracked. I'll discount somewhere else. It is a woman's right to govern her body. But if her mama had that attitude, she wouldn't have had a body. Abortion is about one thing. And so many people are deceived into buying the philosophy of this world. It's about population control. You know who started Planned Parenthood? A woman named Margaret Sanger. Read about her later. You want me to tell you why she started Planned Parenthood? Are you ready? To control the Negro population. Do you know that in 2014... more African babies were aborted than were born in that state? I told them black men at church, I said, that ought to make you mad. Because your population is not going to be on the increase, it's going to be on the decrease. Now you can lay all that at the doorstep of Margaret Sanger. If you don't believe it, you check it out. You've all heard of Charles Darwin's Origin of the Species. Well, guess what? That's the abbreviated title of it. The full title is The Origin of the Species and the Preservation of Superior Races. Huh? But we will teach that to our children in school, but we'll only teach part of it. We won't tell them Charles Darwin, Margaret Sanger were racist. No, I'm the racist because I don't believe in climate change. The Bible tells us that during that great tribulation period, the majority of the population on this earth, 2/3 of the population of this earth, will die. Now, I want to ask you something. Will that make this a better place or a worse place? I want to tell you something. There's somebody who's governor of this world. Now, what makes the difference in the way we behave is whether or not we recognize his governorship or we reject his governorship. And I hate to tell you this, but at this present time, we are rejecting it. We will not have this man to rule over us. We hold these truths to be self-evident that man has been endowed by his Creator with certain inalienable rights. You see, they knew that if law originated in man, he would eventually twist it to the destruction of his own person. But if they rooted the laws of this land that they were forming, then their law would be drawn from God. Oh, we messed that one up, didn't we? But can I tell you something this morning? He's still the governor of this world. I've had people ask me before when I'd witnessed to them, well, if there's a God, why do so many bad things happen in this world? I said, well, first of all, why do you want to blame God for bad things that's happening? Huh? That's the first person that we look to. God, why did you allow this to happen? My world's falling apart. Well, you need to change your world. Amen. All right, quickly. I want you to notice in verse 9 that he sets the boundaries of this world. Thou hast set a what? Bound. That they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth like they did before the creation. When God said, let the land appear. You read the book of Job, and Job talks about the ocean. And he says this, he says, God said, you'll come this far, but you'll come no further. Well, according to the climate change people, I heard Geraldo Rivera say one time, he was walking in knee-deep water in Miami. Well, it probably been a hurricane. Because if Miami was knee-deep in water, there wouldn't be nobody living down there. They'd be dragging shrimp trawls through there and throwing cast nets. Amen? Right. Amen. What are you saying? God sets the boundaries of this world. Right. And he tells the ocean, you come this far, but you don't come any further. And that ocean can only come further when God opens a door for that thing to come in his judgment. And he uses water for a judgment. Amen. Right. I wish I had time to stay there. You see, God sets the boundary with man. He puts it this way. Thou shalt not. Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law. He said, I've not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Oh, we got a bunch today that says the Old Testament doesn't pertain anymore. The law doesn't mean anything. It must be out of your mind. You might better study the rest of that book once in a while. You just might learn something, amen. The law serves a purpose and it establishes the morality that God demands of man. And when he cannot fulfill that demandment, he sent his son to die for them. Hallelujah. And boy, whenever you'll nail her down there, you'll become a part of his world. And he'll become a part of your own personal world. Amen. It's God that sets the morals of this world. Our forefathers recognize that. You know, there are certain people, progressives today, who believe that the Constitution is an evolving document. Isn't it amazing how they always come back to evolution, no matter what it is? Probably this microphone evolved from a cat of nine tails. I don't know. Some people look at the Bible that way. No, sirree. When God said it, you nail a nail down there. He meant what He said. And He's the one who sets the boundaries. But man says that boundary doesn't apply. I'm working on a message right now. My part in the trans movement. Oh, boy, I don't want to hear that. You see, in the past, I was a transgressor. What does that mean? That means to step over an established boundary or line. God draws a line. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Man says, I see that line. I know what that line says, but I'm stepping over that line. At that moment in time, and you can apply anything there. I just threw that out. At that moment in time, you become a transgressor. Amen. God sets the boundaries, not man. So you know what? What the Supreme Court rules on may affect my civil life, but it cannot affect my spiritual life or my personal world. Amen. Supreme Court says it's all right for men to marry men, women to marry women. Well, now you go ahead, but you're not going to bring it in my world. We don't have that in my world. Amen. Why? You're a bigot. You're a hater. You're everything in the world. Why can't we come into your world? Because God's in this world. And God won't put up with it. He says it's not right. Now, I don't mean I don't love you. It doesn't mean I won't share the gospel of Christ. Amen. But I'll tell you this. You go ahead and do what you're going to do, but don't bring it to my house. Why? God's established some boundaries, and I have decided to recognize and honor them. We got to go on. He not only sets the boundaries of this world, I want to tell you something else that He sets, and you better remember this when you sit down this afternoon. He sets the buffet for this world. Boy, I've eaten so much this week with Brother Don as we went here and here. It's a wonder I can get up and breathe this morning, which is usually hard anyway. I want to tell you something. If you like me, I like a buffet. Why? Because it usually has a great variety and plenty of it. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what. To me, that is a perfect description of this world that God has created. Hallelujah. This wonderful world. I want you to look in verse 13. Verse 13 of Psalm 104. He watereth the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of Thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for who? For the cattle. And herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. And wine that maketh glad the heart of man. And oil to make his face shine. Boy, any of y'all have dry skin? Man, I do. Wintertime, every time I shampoo my hair, I look more like a fish than I do a human being. I have to rub baby oil on my forehead to try to hide them scales a little bit. But the only one problem with putting oil on you makes you shine. Well, that's not a bad thing. That's what he said. Look, causes his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Look at verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are Thy works. In wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. So is this great and wide sea wherein are things creeping, innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom Thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon Thee that Thou mayest give them their meat in due season. Hallelujah. Boy, right outside the window in my living room, I used to have some bird feeders. Now, I didn't feed the birds because they didn't have nothing to eat. I used the food to draw them there so I could look at them. And I want to tell you something. I can sit there and I can watch all of them. You know, I haven't had them up now because I've got so many cats. It's getting kind of dangerous. And squirrels, too, I used to feed. But you know what? I haven't found any dead ones laying out there since I stopped feeding them. Guess what? They have not starved to death. Jesus built upon that. He said, consider the fowls of heaven. He said, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather stuff into barns, but yet, son, they still eating, ain't they? Boy, I remember when I was in England, the ground would freeze, it would snow, it would sleet, and that stuff be that thick. And they would say on the TV, said, throw out scraps and food for the birds because they can't get to the ground. Well, here's what I thought. I said, well, you know, they knew that when they moved here. I didn't have a choice. God, the military sent us over here. But, you know, they knew that when they moved here. So I just have an idea that even if we hadn't put out food for them, they knew where to go to get them some food. You know, there's a certain bird, and I can't think of which breed it is, but they fly from Hawaii to Alaska to lay their eggs and have their babies. Whenever those babies are born, that mama, she heads right back to Hawaii, and she leaves them babies on their own. But they don't stay in Alaska. You know what they do? They pack her up, and they fly to Hawaii. How do they know to get there? How they know to get there? Mama's already down there. She left them. Did she tell them how to get there? No, I'll tell you what. God built them with an inbuilt GPS. So they know where they ought to go and what they ought to do when they get there. That's a part of God's wonderful creation. You know what? I was dispatching Christmas Eve when that great tsunami hit over there in Indonesia. And one of the things that they noticed before that tsunami ever hit was this. All the animals went up into the highlands. Boy, ain't evolution wonderful. No, son, if anything to evolution, they'd all drown. Some more would evolve. Where are you going to stop this thing? No, my friend. God established the buffet for all the animals. Amen. Amen. One of my joys in this life is to go walking down the woods below my house. There's a swamp down there on my land. And I walk the dog, cats will go, is to just look up in all the trees. And to look at the animals and see things. And I've said this more than once. I said, God, you made a perfect creation. It may be under a curse, but it's still beautiful. And it still operates just like you want it to operate, with one exception. Man. Why? Man lives in this present world. But we don't have to live in this present world. Well, preacher, how can we get out of it? You don't have to get out of it. That's what's great. You can live in your own personal world. Amen. Now, when you watch the news, you're in danger of letting that world into your world, so be very careful. We live in the day of what they call fake news. Man, I tell you what, you better be on your P's and Q's to be able to tell the difference what's real and what's not real, amen? But we need to understand, God sets the boundaries of this world. He sets the buffet of this world. And anytime God says, let that bud starve, we'll starve. You know what God told the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy? He said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you if you forget me. And he began to catalog a lot of things that would happen when they forgot God. And part of what would happen is that they would eat their own children. Guess what? They did it. He said they'd eat some stuff pretty bad, and I'm not going to mention that. What are you saying? I'm saying, son, God sets the buffet for this world. That's man, that's beast. And when he gets ready to cut her off, buddy, we're going to be in trouble. You know what we're moving to today? And I'm going to shut up. I'm not going to cover my last point. We're living in a day when they're trying to establish everything to be purchased over the internet. There's going to come a time, if things continue, that brick and mortar stores are going to be a rarity. Target just bought a food shipping business that will deliver to your door. Supposedly, that's the idea. Now, let me ask you this. You get in the habit of buying your groceries online. Comes right to your door. How convenient. Ain't got to go out shopping. What happens when the electricity goes off? What happens when you don't have the Piggly Wiggly to go to? Huh? What happens when you haven't stored up some stuff to eat? What happens when you don't have a deep freeze? Huh? Let me tell you what happens. Mass starvation. And that's where we're headed. Do you happen to remember which one of those horses brought forth famine? You see, we don't think about that. How many young people today know how to prepare a meal from very little? My mama could do it. Ann's mother could do that. A lot of you ladies can do that. But a lot of this new generation don't know how to do it. What's going to happen when the lights go off? That's when I'm going down the woods, hunt me a squirrel, a deer. You say, but I don't eat deer. You will. You will. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God sets the buffet of this world and he can cut her off whenever he gets ready. It has been said that the great cities in this country have 10 days worth of groceries in the grocery stores. Now, that's if everybody behaves civilized. But you know what? They don't behave civilized. So if you don't fight your way in there the first day, you're probably not going to have no Vienna sausage to eat. Amen. Think about that when you're eating your meatloaf. Dinner time. God sets the buffet of this world. God sets the business of this world. Why? Because he is the governor and he is in control. This is a wonderful world because it has a wonderful creator. It's a wonderful world because it has a wonderful governor. Then it is a wonderful world because it has a wonderful Savior. That's why this writer closed out the psalm with this. He said, I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praises unto the Lord. See, Brother Don talked about that machine that we become. We come to church and we do the same things over and over, and it begins to operate like a machine. Huh? I said, well, Brother Don, after the service, I said, what if we stick another quarter in that machine? Will it go a little longer? You see, when we get to operating that way, then whenever Miss Emily or anybody else plays that piano, we go through the motions of singing those songs. Now, I know some of them are tough, but I give it my best shot. Why? Because I'm not singing to you. I'm singing with you. And I'm singing to he that is the great Savior of this world. You see, friend, there's a promised world coming one of these days. And whenever that promised world comes, my personal world will be absorbed in it. Hallelujah. Ooh, boy. I had my mama in my personal world. One of these days, I'm going to have her in that promised world. Amen. She'll be there for everybody, not just for my little personal world. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, folks. You get down and you have trouble and you are suffering sorrow, I want you to remember something. It's a wonderful world. And if you'll keep that spirit and attitude in your mind, then you know what? You'll be able to do what the Sunday school lesson talked about this morning. You'll be able to persevere. You'll be able to keep going. Amen. Now here's the only question. Is the God of the promised world a part of your personal world? Now, if he's not, then when this present world perishes, you're going to perish with it. So what you need to do is come to the Savior of the world. Amen. Amen. Make him a part of your world. Well, I didn't know what I was getting into 45 years ago when I got saved. Amen. I didn't have no idea in my little infantile brain. Amen. But boy, I want to tell you now, I do. Say, preacher, I got a problem. I don't want to hear about it. Why? I got a personal world. Everything's going good. Amen. I'll pray for your problem all right out there. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Stuff doesn't bring me down like it used to. You will let this world and what's going on in it bring you to the place that you no longer desire to live. Amen. We just requested prayer for a 12-year-old boy that shot and killed himself. Somebody that works with Miss Elizabeth there. Because of circumstances in this world, young people believe that the easiest and the quickest way out is just take their lives. And we see more and more of it. Amen. God help them. You better teach your children. This world's not our home. We're just a passing through. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead, preacher.